Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, that's it for our program at Jags Monday. A happy Jags Monday comes up now with J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, and Pete Prisco. Pete, you're not happy. Pete, are you even happy today or no?
I'm always happy, Frank. You know better than that.
Happy guy.
I walk around as a happy guy.
Yeah, happy. By the way, do you watch college football at all or no?
Yeah, every Saturday.
No, your team. I mean, do you watch your team at all?
No, they stink. No, I want the coach fired.
My team's not really any good either, but they're, like, way better than your team. That's
Frank,
all I'm
I want the coach out of there. I've already told the athletic director, fire that guy.
Any movement on that one? Any movement
Not
there?
Yet, but hopefully it'll happen.
Baselli, what about USC? I don't pay attention. Are they winning, losing? What are they doing?
Yeah, crickets over here. Baselli's not here. I don't know where he's at right now.
Oh, I thought he was there.
No, he's running around.
They pounded Arizona State a couple weeks ago, but that's not hard to do. You know, Frank, it drives me crazy. You know this because you've been around me a long time. How those teams of the SEC can just load up on players when half the towns are dumps.
Yeah.
And Arizona State is in a paradise, and they can't get anybody to go to school there and win football.
I will say this. That is one of the greatest mysteries of college football, that they've never, ever been good. They had the one team in 0
Jake the Snake,
96.
Man. Yeah. Plumber.
Yeah, you got my title. Yeah, you guys got my title that year.
But, I mean, to be that big a stadium, that great place to live, it can't be that different than the California schools who have all at least had pockets of greatness, you know? It's a mystery.
The biggest school in the country now.
Is it really?
Yeah. I mean, it's mystifying to me.
Hey, Frank, you didn't ask me about Alabama. I don't know why.
I haven't followed them this year.
I don't know
JP.
What they're – I mean,
how are they doing?
They're hanging in there.
How are they doing?
Speaking of good schools in a dumpy town.
It's not a dumpy town, man. They got a nice river flowing through there. They got bars.
I love Tuscaloosa. Tuscaloosa. I think it's a great little town. I don't like Birmingham very much, but I love it. Pete, what about the Jags? What'd you think? Found a way to come back and win, right?
Yeah, but they got it. I figured it out. They ran on 6 of their 8 first down plays in the second and third quarter. You can't win games like that. Yeah, and I know. You know, the opening drive, they went right down the field. They were a little wide open, and then he threw the pick, which really wasn't his fault. It bounced off Allen Robinson's face. But, you know, in fairness to Allen Robinson, he's made a lot of catches on bad balls that Blake Bortles has thrown. So, you got to, you know, that equals out. But then they got conservative, I thought. They got to remember, they're not Seattle. This isn't Seattle. You can't run the ball. They're not a running team.
Oh, shut up. Victory, baby.
Oh, God. There he is.
Hey, is Tony back yet?
Yeah, there he is. Happy guy. He's a happy guy.
And guess what he's wearing right now? An Aurelius Ben jersey.
Love it. You got his Ben jersey. Ben jersey?
Yeah.
See,
doesn't everybody?
The thing is, normal clothes fit him now, Pete. So he's got a whole new wardrobe.
Yeah, he's skinny guy.
He's wearing a wide receiver shirt, for God's sake.
Dr. X-O-N-O-N-O-F-D, Dr. D-P-C-D-B-D, got him skinny. He got him all fixed up.
At least I'm not fat like you, Pete.
No, you're not. You're skinny. But it took you about 18,000 different remedies to do it.
JP, give me a lay of the land tonight, brother.
Oh, should be a good one, man. We'll break down this Jaguars win. What happened to the offense early in the game? And, boy, the defense came through at the right time and stood up again. They've done that 4 times out of the 5 games this year at moments
too
late in the game.
Conservative. Is nobody
shut up.
Me on that?
It was the greatest football weekend ever. The Eagles won. The Episcopal Eagles won. USC won, Florida State won, and the Jaguars won. Nothing else matters in the world right now.
Frank, you agree with me on that.
Pete, I agree with you about once every 3 years, and I think you're dead on this one. I'd like to see him open it up and play fast, and Baselli doesn't agree with me, but I'm with you. I'm with you on this one.
Old school. He's old school, Frank.
Wait a second. Whoa. Who said I don't agree with – I never said they shouldn't play hurry up.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
I thought you did.
No, never said that.
I thought you –
I don't think they should do. I don't think they should go predominantly no huddle the entire game. I think it should be a package that they work.
They should do it more than they do, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, they don't do it at all right now.
So, that would be more.
Didn't have to do it in the first drive, and they moved the ball pretty good.
Yeah, they did.
I'll just say this, and we'll get into this in detail. It's not about playing hurry up, and it's not about playing slow. It's not about being conservative, and it's not about opening it up. It's about guys doing their jobs. I watched the tape twice, once all the way through, in detail today, went through every run play and took notes and diagrammed, but kind of ID'd what was going on. And I've one criticism of the play calling, and that was, you know, second and goal from the half-yard line.
Right.
Why are we split out Mercedes Lewis and throw it to him? We don't pound the rock and just score. Besides that,
That's the only criticism?
No, listen, would I make some different calls? But conceptually, Pete, I'm telling you, as someone who watched it twice and in detail went through the run, conceptually, it was a six-man box with two high safeties. Everybody and their brother calls the run. The New England Patriots run into those fronts because that's what they did. It was execution.
They can't run. So they ran on six of their eight first down plays. They're not dictating tempo. They're getting dictated to them.
Execution. Now, they're not Seattle. The one thing I will – they're not trying to be Seattle, Pete. They don't have a fullback. Seattle's a fullback. The one thing I will say where I do agree, maybe a little run heavy on first down.
Well, that's what I just said.
I just said where I'd agree with you, Pete. Do you not listen? Open your ears. Golly. You're not going to rain in my parade today.
JP, I'm going to leave.
I got my AB jersey on. Yeah.
Aurelius Ben and Pete Prisco.
I'm riding with Ben.
It's Jaguars Monday, and it starts right now. Hold on.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday. Jaguars Monday with JP Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Baselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, Geico, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Jaguars Victory Monday underway from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco is with us from CBS Sports Studios down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. We'll get to your calls in the second hour tonight. The Jaguars win 17-16 over the Chicago Bears in Week 6. How in the heck did it happen?
Never a doubt, baby.
Not so sure I'll ever know, but it happened.
Never a doubt. Ask Joe. We were in the booths, and we got this thing.
At 13-0 entering the fourth.
Oh, yeah.
You had it.
Had it. I said victory.
That was your stone cold lock that they do a kneel down at the end, by the way.
Too.
And they were darn close.
Slide,
that doesn't count.
I think that is a victory kneel down because he just kind of took a knee.
No, it isn't. Can't take credit for it.
It was close, OP. Dang it. I needed one first down. I had it.
What a win, though. Jags down 13-0 entering the fourth. They pounded in for the touchdown there, and then things go back and forth. The offense disappeared, hibernated, if you will, for a lot of this ball game. Couldn't do anything. The defense stood tall again when it needed to, and we've talked about it earlier. Throughout this season so far, there's moments late in games where the defense, they need to get off the field, and they do. And they did it again yesterday on that right after the Bortles fumble. It's point-blank range. If they score a touchdown, the game's over. They held them to a field goal there, and I thought that was a big part of the game.
Well, the offense was outstanding the first drive.
Oh, fantastic.
And then it was the worst offense I've seen in a long time for two quarters. And then somehow in the fourth quarter, I think Blake threw for like 140 yards or something like that in the fourth quarter, or 133. It was some big number.
It was a lot, yep.
And they woke up. They came back. Between that, it was awful. It was awful to watch the first time. It was not fun to watch the second time. It was bad. There's no – and I'll say this. As a player, if I was in that game and watching that, I'd have been embarrassed. And trust me, I had games where it didn't go well as an offense, and you watch that film and you're like, oh, my gosh, Sometimes I would close my eyes. I'd be in the front, and I just closed my eyes because I didn't want to watch it again as we're getting yelled at or getting critiqued or whatever it was.
So, Tony, no coincidence to the fact that they stunk in the second and third quarter and they ran on six of their eight first down plays in those two quarters?
Listen, Pete, they're not.
Yes.
They're not running the ball well. I don't disagree with that. I don't think they are built or can just open it up and throw it around the yard 50 times. It's not who they can be.
Not 50. 35 and a lot of it on first down.
Pete, that's what they did. They ran.
They only first down.
Pete, they only ran it 17 times,
and they ran it on six of their eight first down runs in the first down plays in the second and third quarter.
Okay, so if your complaint
is what stymied their offense.
No, it's not what stymied their offense, Pete. That is not what stymied their offense. What stymied their offense was bad technique, missed assignments, and bad throws. And bad decisions. That's what stymied their offense. Here's a perfect example.
Wait, so in the fourth
quarter. Hold on. You hold on for a second. And the first drive of the second half, they get up there. They run on first down. They get they get three or two. Second down, they call a slant that is poorly thrown, that's wide open, that's poorly thrown behind Allen Robinson, and he tries to make a catch, drops it. Third and eight, a skinny post to Julius Thomas, who is wide open. Wide open. Blake sails it over his head by 5 yards. That's play calling, Pete? That's not being open enough? If you hit one of those throws, it's first and 10, and you move the chains, and who knows what happens.
So the execution was significantly better in the fourth quarter.
Yes. Honestly, if you go watch it, Pete, all 22, the first drive, Jeff said it on the radio, and I agreed. Blake was in a rhythm, on time, hitting guys in stride, throwing the ball great. Fourth quarter, he made big-time throws. Deep out routes to Julius Thomas, you know, on time, on target, moving in the pocket, great throws. Between those two, fourth quarter and the first drive, at times he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. I don't know what happened. I have zero explanation for it. But to sit here and say that it's because they opened it up, or they, you know, did this, or they changed what they were doing. No. They played better. They executed better. They threw the ball. They blocked people. They protected. They picked up the blitz. They caught the ball. It's execution.
All right. So you just said the opening drive, he was on time. He was in rhythm, right?
Yep.
And he looked good. Right. So they don't get the ball back again until the second quarter, right?
Right.
So what do they do on the first down run in the second quarter? First down play.
Stand by. I can get to that.
I don't know. I don't have it.
They run Chris Ivory for 3 yards. So then what happens? Then they get a hold and move it back 10 yards, and they run Chris Ivory again for a yard.
Yeah,
so now you're in second and 19.
I didn't love the second down call. But now, in fairness, on second and 19, they threw a ball for 14 yards and had third and five.
And then he threw it complete to Julius Thomas.
Yeah, he had pressure and bad throw.
Right.
So they're in third and five, Pete.
Yeah, third and four is ideal, right?
So your whole argument is off there, but that's okay.
No,
go ahead.
Not.
Yes, it is. They are third and four after a penalty that put him back at first and 20.
Right, but why did they run on second? Why did they run on second down?
Oh,
on the first down run from first and 20. That's a bad play. Okay, then you get the ball back again. He throws it complete.
I would have thrown it.
Then you get the ball back again, right? In the next drive, and since that running game is so powerful, they decided to run it again on first.
Pete, did you see the passing game? It wasn't like it was great either.
Because he's a rhythm passer that isn't allowed to get into a rhythm.
Okay.
How do you get him in a rhythm?
You don't believe that.
How do you get him in the rhythm?
You play faster.
Pete just wants to just come out and throw the ball 50 times. This team's not built to do that.
No, not throw the ball 50 times. Why? Wait, let me just ask you this, Tony. Why is that team not built to throw it 50 times? Is that on the quarterback?
I don't think that's the way they are built to win right now. And I don't think.
What's the strength of the team?
Hold on. No, it's right now the defense.
Oh, well, the defense played well, but on offense.
No,
the
defense is the strength of the team.
What's the strength of the offense?
You would have to say right now the young receivers, outside receivers.
Well, they don't. Why not get them the ball and play up tempo and play fast and spread them out and dictate tempo?
How many teams in the NFL right now are top teams that play up-tempo fast?
Atlanta. New England when they want to.
Okay, but they don't.
Pittsburgh.
The first one, Atlanta, I'm not sold on, but they played well against Seattle. Got to tip their hats.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I agree. But they run the ball quite a bit with Le'Veon Bell.
I mean,
New Orleans, they stink, Pete.
No, New Orleans is bad.
They stink.
But they play up tempo.
Okay, I said good teams. They stink.
Who's good that doesn't play up tempo?
Who's good that doesn't play up tempo? Buffalo right now, they're 4-2. Seattle.
Oh, come on, Tony.
Wait,
not any good.
Okay, they're 4-2. Seattle.
Seattle play fast now and then and spread them out. They play. They have a lot of.
So do we, Pete. We don't have a fullback either. You're not making sense. Is my whole point. Denver, they don't speed it up.
No, but they're great on defense. Is Jacksonville great on? They're good.
Kansas
on defense.
City, Oakland,
they're good teams.
I'm just giving you a team with winning records. You live in this world that you want to play arena football, and no one does that.
I don't want to play arena football. I just don't think you can be so predictable, and they're predictable with a capital P. And you know what? I bet you fans agree with me. And I'm not sitting here saying Bortles the end-all, be-all, because he's not playing very well either. I think his mechanics are way, way wild and off, and his wind-up is
Pete,
terrible.
I get so tired of people like you and the fans saying they're predictable. Guess because when the plays work, no one ever says they're predictable.
If Mercedes catches the ball in the end zone,
they don't – oh.
First drive?
I still would have disagreed with it because I disagreed with it before they ever called it. So
that was a terrible – it was a terrible call at the goal line.
I would disagree with it no matter
but
what.
If you're trying to it. A tackle.
But my point is saying that is – and I'll go back to when I played. I can't tell you. After we would lose, they are so predictable. Running that first down, they're so predictable. So, and then we'd win. Dynamic. What a great offense. Jimmy, Keenan, Fred.
Exotic smash mouth. Yeah,
we'd lose? Yeah. Predictable. I mean, that's what fans – you sound like a fan, Pete. And I love our fans.
I'm not a fan. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. It matters to you. It matters so much to you. You should want to play up-tempo.
Blake
came out and said he plays better faster.
Can you explain, just so I make sure we're saying, what is up-tempo to you? Explain what that offense looks like to be up-tempo.
Go no huddle.
So you want to go hold no huddle the whole game?
Not the whole game, but sometimes.
I agree with that.
And don't run the ball on every first down play over a two-quarter span, which is what they did 6 of 8 times.
So if your quarterback's struggling,
and hold on.
If your quarterback's struggling, missing wide open guys, just keep on throwing it, right?
Did he struggle on the opening drive?
No, but the next drive he did, Pete.
Because they came out and they decided they were going to do something they shouldn't have done.
Pete, they ran the ball in the first drive too, you moron. It's not like they said, we throw it every down. They ran the ball in the first drive, Pete. Come on. You're not making any sense.
First down, deep right to Allen Robinson. First down, Bortles, short left to Marquise Lee, 18 and 14 yards. This is the first drive, okay? Bortles, incomplete, deep middle. Then Bortles, pass, deep right, Allen Hurns, 4 yards. These are the first down plays.
Deep right, 4 yards?
First and goal. Then he got down on the goal line and ran Ivory on first and goal from the 5, and then so went the drive.
Deep right, 4 yards?
I didn't say deep right. I said –
No, you did. Yeah, you did.
But the point is, the first three first down plays,
Your whole narrative. I know. Come on, make up stuff because it'll fit your narrative.
I'll give you all the first down plays on the first drive. Bortles deep right to Robinson for 18. Bortles pass short left to Marquise Lee for 14. Ivory for 9. Okay, so they did run the ball. Bortles incomplete. Then Bortles short right to Hurns for 4 yards. Then Ivory, right guard for 4 yards. So
okay,
there you
so
go. There's your first
so
down.
Two out of five,
so three, no, three out of five they threw it.
I was going to say 2 out of 5 they ran it. So you're saying, so that's 2 out of 5. So 2 out of 5 they that's 40%, right?
No, I'm correct. You're right. They ran it 3 times and threw it 3 times.
Yeah. Okay. So that's 50,
3 and 3.
So 50% of the times they ran it, and 50% they threw it. And then they, for 2 quarters, then they went 6 and 8. So if they would have run it 1 or 2 times less times, that would have fixed everything. They would have been smoking hot.
Well,
I'm just asking the question because this is your argument.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll go talk to Greg Olsen because I actually just saw him. I'm going to say, listen, I figured out the problems with the offense. I figured it all out. Right now, if you'll just call one less run, or maybe two, over the course of the game on first down, that's it. Everything solved. We'll be scoring 30 a game. Done.
You'd be surprised.
Okay, Pete.
And by the way,
you don't even believe that. You just got stuck in your argument. You had nowhere to go.
No, the first down pass play went to Robinson for 18. The next run on first down went for 1. Then the first down pass play went to Marquise Lee for 14. Then they did get a 9-yard run.
You're not allowed to run. No. I think they should just never. They should make a rule: you can't run it on first down in the NFL.
Mm.
It's Pete.
You know what?
Pete likes
that might be coming.
Tom Brady did that. Used to do that when he had to.
Yeah, no. It's arena football.
Buffalo.
It's arena football.
Yeah. I'm not saying Blake Bortles is Tom Brady, but Blake Bortles plays differently when he's allowed to play up tempo and he's looser and freer. And you don't see that, Tony.
I've said. And I said it on the broadcast yesterday, I would change the pace up every once in a while. Absolutely. I think it's a good part of the game plan. I think every team should have a hurry-up game plan that they go up and change the pace on a team. I just don't. I think your whole narrative that somehow if you call one or two more runs on first down, that's going to fix everything. Not when you miss wide open guys and you don't block the point of attack and you have missed assignments, how is calling an extra two runs going to fix anything?
Because
so you have missed assignments on those plays? I'm done.
I guess they didn't have missed assignments on the 18-yarder.
We'll come back in a moment.
He's a baby tonight.
He is.
Tonight. He doesn't like it.
He's got his teal-colored glasses on tonight is what's happening. It's Aurelius right Ben here. Jersey
Aurelius
on.
Ben.
We'll come back and continue this discussion about Blake Bortles and the Jags offense. We'll get to defense coming up. They had a good day, too. And your call's coming up in the second hour. Tickets available for Sunday's game against the Oakland Raiders. Good battle of teams with young talent. Carr, Cooper, Mack for the Raiders. Bortles, the Allens, Fowler, Jack Ramsey. For the Jaguars, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
This is okay. This is okay. This is what we're talking about, man. Maybe we're the F growing up, man. Maybe we're growing up. That's awesome. I told you, man, where it came from at halftime. It comes from love. That's where it comes. Don't forget that. It comes from that place. But damn, we ain't gonna let us play like that. We are not gonna let us play like that, ever. We got a high standard. I'm talking to you guys about this legacy. I'm talking about it's under your control, and you take ownership. Now, we got some things to get corrected. We could have even played better. But let me tell you something, man. That's a hell of a effing job.
There's your head coach, Gus Bradley, in the locker room at Soldier Field, courtesy of Jaguars.com. Check it out on the team website. Jags win 17-16. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Frisco. We got a few minutes here to wrap up this offensive discussion. And then we got to go to defense because there's a lot on defensive side, especially Jalen Ramsey, too. We'll do that next segment coming up. But you guys were hot and heavy there for a second on offense.
Well, my frustration is I don't understand how changing one or two plays is going to make a difference when you're looking at an overall game. Because the reality is you got to execute. And I was taught from the time I played here from a guy that Pete once told me was one of the most respected offensive guys' minds for a long time, and Tom Coughlin. Am I wrong about that, Pete?
No, he's one of the best.
One of the best. When you get 11 personnel and they give you a weak box, which is six in the box, two high safeties, you run the ball. We used to have a package. It was a run pass check. Get in the huddle. We'd have our 11 personnel, three wides. We'd get up. It would be a check with me. If they gave us six in the box, we were running it. If they gave us seven in the box, we were passing it. Meaning, if you had a single high safety, we're throwing it. If you get two high safety, split safety look, we're going to run it. They were getting split high safety looks for most of the day, is what Chicago runs. Six in the box, you should be able to run the ball into that. It's a hard defense. It's much harder to throw. Chicago was 12th in the NFL in pass defense because they're not great personnel-wise, but they play coverage to cover up their inadequacies. And you got to run the ball. And they didn't execute. I'm not saying that Greg and the coaching staff can't do a better job, and I'm not putting it on the players, but the majority every Sunday is. And across the league, not just here, we get paid to play the game as players. And so for Pete to come on and say, well, I need to, you know, open it up, or Frey, whoever it is. I'm not saying just Pete, but he's on the show right now. And that's going to fix everything. I agree with change of pace. I think that's good. But calling one or two or three less runs on first down is not going to change it. If they're giving you six in the box, which is called a weak box, you got to run the ball.
And Peyton Manning made a living running
and
against
that's what
weak
they
boxes.
Did. Exactly right.
I understand. I understand that. But why? Here's another question then. Why is the box weak?
That's what Chicago does. This was really the first time they got that this much, to be honest with you.
But, I mean, then there should be opportunities to hey, you said run the ball. I get it.
Yeah.
They're not a good running team, so that's a problem.
It is a problem. It's a big problem, Pete. I'm not saying – I don't think they want to play like Seattle. That's not – they want to run the ball, though, to take some pressure off the young quarterback and to make things easier for him in the pass game. And you know this. It's hard to throw against a two-high safety look, especially if they're playing two or two-man.
And I haven't watched the 22, but what defense were the Bears in the fourth quarter?
Well, same thing. At that point, they were in desperation. They had to throw it. And I'm not saying you
can't. And it worked.
I'm not saying I don't want to be a 50-50 run-pass team. It's not what I'm saying. 35.
What do you want to be, 65-35?
Yeah, 35-40% run, depending on the day.
I'm okay 65-35.
Yeah, and if
it's
and if you're pounding if you're really running well, then you get up to 40. Or maybe it goes higher. But I mean
Tony, I thought it looked to me just, and I haven't watched, you know, the tape like you did, but just watching the game, it looked to me once Blake made the mistake, it was almost like, okay, well, we can't have that again.
What mistake?
So not the mistake, but the interception.
No, I don't
think
that had anything to do with it. It was a good ball. It was a drop. It was a very good ball. You have to throw that low.
Talking to people who were on the sideline, the feeling on the sideline was just dejection. The whole team kind of lost their mojo there.
You could see that on the TV broadcast.
And you could feel it there. They shouldn't have. They should have been on the sideline. Listen, okay, big deal. We made a mistake. We just shoved it down their throats. We're going to do it all day. Let's go. That should have been the attitude. I don't know why it wasn't. I wasn't down there, but I agree with you guys. You could feel that. I don't think that had anything to do with it, Pete, because they came out and they ran it on first down. They threw it on second down. And they tried to throw it on third down. And guess what? Both those throws were there. I could see your complaint, and I would be 100% behind you, Pete, if this was a situation which we've seen in the past, not with Greg Olsen as much, but run, run, pass. You know, putting everything.
No, it's not that.
It's not that. And that's why – so I think it's an execution thing, and I think the players will tell you that. And I went back – and I usually don't do it. I usually don't go back and watch it twice. But I was so frustrated after watching it, specifically the run, which I know a lot about. And I went and watched it again. And, Pete, I'm telling you right now, it's execution by the players. It's missed assignments. It's not using technique the way they're – I know they're taught because I know what they teach. Not the right aiming points. And I saw one time, in my opinion, there was a missed hole by a back. Other than that, I don't think it was on the backs.
Gus Bradley today and a couple of linemen were saying maybe there's a little lack of urgency on the offensive line.
That drives me even more crazy.
Right.
How could you have a lack of urgency? You get 16 chances. Let's go. My goodness, lack of urgency. Holy cow, JP. Can't believe you said
that. Wouldn't playing faster at times bring a little urgency to the whole situation?
For an offensive lineman, though.
No, not just for the lineman, for the team as a unit.
No, it's just different. I like the one good thing about playing fast is if you get one first down and you're playing fast, it wears that defensive line out and it's easier to pass block and everything else. For whatever reason, offensive linemen don't get as tired as defensive linemen. Well, I know why, because we're not chasing the way they have to chase. I want to make sure you understand, Pete, I'm not against up-tempo. I just don't think this team – I don't like this team saying, let's go up-tempo the whole game. That's not who they are. Not yet, at least. I don't think Blake is ready to – I don't think it would be fair to Blake at this point of his career to put him at the line of scrimmage and say, call the game, like Peyton Manning does or Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
But in spurts, you can do it.
In spurts. I'm 100% with you there.
Okay.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back and flip it over to the defensive side. A lot of positive on that side of the ball, especially.
Not all positive.
Well, there's some positive, though.
Not all.
Some.
Not all.
Better than zero.
Yes. Well, there was positive on offense, too.
Yeah, I wasn't saying there wasn't.
Well, you just made it sound like offense was zero.
Well, it was disrespectful. Closer to zero than the alternative. Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. We're talking defense when we come back. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I just kept telling myself, that's why this is a 60-minute game. That's why there's four quarters. The first half, I already knew Alshon was one of the top receivers in the league. I knew he was going to give me a good game. I didn't really have an answer for the comebacks in the first half. I kind of felt like he was pushing off a little bit. It is what it is. They weren't getting caught. I don't make excuses. So I just kept telling myself, keep fighting. Keep competing. The second half, don't let him catch nothing on you. I really kept telling myself that in my head. And like you said, I think first half, six catches, 90 yards. He gave me the business. Second half, I had it in my mind, like, I won't let my teammates down. I won't allow this to happen. Second half, I think helped him to one catch, 3 yards or something like that.
There's cornerback Jalen Ramsey in the locker room at Soldier Field, Chicago, yesterday after the Jaguars win 17-16. Jaguars Monday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. He read the stat sheet, apparently. He was right on. First half, six catches, 90 yards for Jeffrey, and then not so much in the second half, and Ramsey had the game-sealing pass defense to lock down the Jaguars' win at Soldier Field. And, you know, that's a big step. We're learning a lot more about Jalen Ramsey week after week after week here, but his ability.
What are we learning?
Well, this week we learned his ability to fight through getting his tail whipped in the first half and come back out and shut down the guy in the second half without help. I don't know if we knew that yet.
We also learned that he's very aggressive and will bite on a double move now and then, too.
We did learn that.
That's true.
I thought they played more zone in the second half. I thought they played more bump and run man first half and a little bit more zone. Not that they didn't do bump and run in the second half. I mean, they did. They do a lot of it. But I thought they sprinkled in more zone in the second half. I don't know if that's accurate or not, because I did not go back and watch the defense twice. That's just, as I was watching it, that was the thought I had. I'd be interested. I'm going to ask if they did that. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't care what he did. He didn't play. Everyone says he played terrible the first half. He's playing with the best receivers, and it was zero help over the top. And the guy caught some balls on comebacks, some very good throws. It's not like Jalen didn't win sometimes in the first half. With all that said, the play he made it in fourth down and the way he broke on that ball, not a lot of guys in the league are making that play. That was a big-time play. I mean, a huge. That is what a top corner does, because it looks like he's open.
Yeah.
You know what's amazing, Tony, is I was sitting here right before the game's getting started. I said, boy, Jalen Ramsey is playing really good football, and I think he's got a chance to be one of the top 10 corners in this league. And then all of a sudden he goes out the first couple plays and he's getting burned all over the place, and I started getting crap from all those guys. But he did. He settled in the second half and was better. He was better. He's still got a ton of talent.
Oh, he's really good. Gosh, he's good. I think he'll be a top 5 corner in this league one day.
How about the pass rush yesterday?
Awful. No good.
They got a key sack late, but it was a coverage sack.
It was a coverage sack. I mean, it was not. No one won.
They sent some pressure in that final couple of drives.
The Bears are pretty good at both guards now. Kyle Long, Josh Sitton are good players, Pro Bowl players. So I thought they had their work cut out. Whitehair, the rookie center, did a nice job, and all he's really doing is helping. Roy beat him up in the run pretty good. But those two tackles they have, Bobby Massey and Charles Lennon Jr., Bobby Massey especially, they're not really good.
No, they're not. They paid him a lot of money, too.
Yeah, they're not.
He's had a bad year.
Yeah, they're not very good.
He gets the ball out.
I don't
quick,
care,
though.
Pete. I'm not disagreeing, but hit him at least. Get close.
Right, right.
The two young ends, especially Dante, I don't think Dante played very well. I thought Yannick was fine. He didn't win. Now, Yannick won, and to Pete's point, a couple times when he won, the ball was out, so he couldn't get there. But he had nice rushes. I didn't see one nice rush that I can remember. Now, maybe there was from Dante. I don't think he played a great game rushing the passer. And that was a little bit surprising because I was wrong, said before that he was going to have a big game because I thought he would get after Bobby Massey. And it didn't happen.
How about the inside guys?
Well, those are good battles now. Those are good players. Not much in the pass, a little bit here and there. Malik had some nice moves, got on edges, forced Hoyer off his spot. Sen had a nice rush that, you know, did the same. They played the run really well. I mean, they completely shut down the Chicago run. They were very physical. Backers played good. So run-wise, up front, they were outstanding, Pete. But did he get a lot in the pass rush?
How Miles Jack playing his cup of coffee?
This is where I agree with you. Not enough? How about that? Not enough is how he played.
Yeah. But how did he play in the tape when you watched it? Because I haven't seen it yet.
I mean, good. Good. Yeah, he's nothing against Dan Scuda. They're different. They're better when Miles Jack's out there, in my opinion. Now, different skill set. So when, you know, if a team's going to go big personnel, maybe two tights, a fullback, tailback, which teams don't usually do very much, you'd rather have Scuda in there in that situation because he can stack that line. He can stack that tight end better than Miles Jack can right now. But as far as 11 person or 12 personnel or 21 personnel, 12 personnel for everyone listening, not to get too technical, is one back, two tight ends. 21 personnel is two backs, one tight end. So it's your base formation stuff. 13 would be one back, three tight ends. That's big personnel. So in those situations, when you big personnel, I can see why Scoot is in there. But out of your base fronts, one back, two tight ends, or two backs, one tight end, I'd rather have Miles Jack in there right now. Yeah, I think he's better. But they rotated him, and I don't know why. Is the short answer because I haven't.
Yeah, he
asked.
Played 15. He played 15 snaps.
Yeah, and I think Scooter played 12.
That shouldn't happen.
Pete, you and I are on the same page here, and maybe something happened. Maybe he's messed up. Maybe there was a mental error. I don't know. But I'll ask this week and see.
Well, I mean, like maybe it's because remember you said he didn't in London. He didn't hold contain on the one run.
Maybe I don't know. But he needs to be out there. He's too dynamic and he's too good of a player.
So you thought he was okay on the downs he was on the field?
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I mean, he made one play stood out where it was he flashed coming down the backside, and when he hits people, they stop. And he's just so fluid and so explosive. But nothing else stood out. But I wasn't looking for him in particular, to be honest with you. I'm watching the defense. I'm watching – you know, what they're doing at point of attack, what they're doing in coverage, you know, looking for – when I watch defense, great plays, bad plays. I'm not – like when I watch the offense, especially the offensive line, I'm evaluating and trying to figure out, you know, it's a little bit more of a higher view when I watch the defense.
Paul Posluszny's still playing at a high level. 11 tackles.
That is a fact.
So is Telvin.
Telvin and Puz – are good players, man. That's why the reason Miles Jack isn't playing every down is because he's not as good as Paul Posluszny right now. He's just not. Now, he's a better athlete, but an overall football player, which is mentally, physically, getting everyone like the position that the Mike has to be on a defense, Puz is playing at too high of a level to take him off the field.
I agree, and you know what? He's also playing the pass pretty well.
Very, he is, Pete. It is.
You know me. I was the one who said.
You said to cut him.
Now you say cut him.
Yeah, you did.
Because of the salary. Because of the salary.
Yeah, you said cut him. You said cut him.
Well, because of the salary.
But you said cut him.
Just say you were wrong, Pete, and we can end this part of the conversation.
He's played. Okay, I was wrong about the way he's played. I'll say that.
Yeah. So you still would have cut him, even though he's playing at a high level.
I might have. How do you know Jack? How do you know Jack wouldn't be playing at that level if he had put him right at middle linebacker? You don't know that.
Okay, yeah, that's great, Pete.
He's going to be Is Jack going to be the middle linebacker next year?
That's a good question.
I would assume, but what if Paul's playing this well again next year?
Well, then you drafted a guy with the second. You traded up in the second round to draft a guy who's going to play 15 snaps again next year. Then.
Okay.
Well, then it's either one or two things, either. You blew the pick, or
no? They didn't blow the pick. Miles Jack's a real deal, Pete. They didn't blow the pick.
Well, if he doesn't play for 3 years and he plays 15 snaps next year,
all of a sudden 3 years? How do we go from?
It would be the third year, wouldn't it?
No, but you said if he doesn't play for 3 years
until the third year.
Okay,
until
that's
the
different.
Third year.
He's gonna play.
You'd be okay with that
if all three backers are playing at a high level. Am I okay with it? I don't know. I mean. Now, maybe Miles is – if Paul's still playing at a high level and Miles is playing at the same high level but he's a little more athletic, maybe you move Puz to auto. I don't know. Or maybe you keep Puz in the middle on first and second down and you move Miles in nickel. And Puz comes off the field. So first and second down, Mike, and then he comes off the field and Jack stays out there. I mean, I don't know.
I just think he needs to be on the field more, period.
Okay.
Somehow, some way, find a way to get
So
him.
Who do you want to take off? Because you only get to play.
I don't know. Find
you
out
only,
a way to get
well,
him
no,
on the
no,
field.
No. You don't get to say that, Pete. You don't get to make these statements and have no solution. You
well,
get
he could
a,
have played another 12. No, he could have played another 12 snaps instead of Scooter the other day.
Okay, that's fine. If that's your answer, then you're stopping there. But you only can play 11 guys, so where are you going to put them?
Well, that would give him a 27 snap.
Is that enough?
And then you could take.
Is that enough? It's a yes or no question.
The rest of the guy, you could take a guy
Who
off.
Are you
going to
take off?
Put him on the field.
Who are you going to take off?
I don't know. Telvin?
No, oh, really? So you're going to take off Telvin, who's playing at an extremely high level, maybe the best defensive player on the team right now. You're going to take him off.
He needed a breather. Oh. Get a couple plays here and there.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take your best, most productive defensive player off the field. Is that what you're doing?
I mean, I wouldn't do it, but you got to get this.
Wait a second. You wouldn't do it. I just asked you, Pete.
If he needs a breather, Tony, they take the best defensive lineman off the field all the time,
stop,
don't they?
Stop, Pete. Stop.
We'll come back in a moment. Continue
okay, so
this.
If you're going to say the way what you're just saying, are you going to admit that it was a bad pick if he doesn't play for 2 years?
No, I will not.
Okay.
The JTA Stadium Shuttle has a new name, the Game Day Express. New name, same great service, price, and locations. The Game Day Express, take it to the bank this Sunday when the Jags welcome the Oakland Raiders. Injury report, your calls in the second hour. Also, Jaguars All-Access TV tonight at 7 o'clock. Aaron Colvin is the guest. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
Came in, you know, A-Rob got a little tired, went in at the X, you know, just be ready at all times, you know, no matter, you know, the situation, you know what I mean, it's all about the team, so, you know, just went out there, executed the play, Blake made the throw, you know what I mean, and just as far as, you know, knowing down and distance and how everything's going, he didn't touch me, I didn't feel him touch me, I just got up and kept going.
Aurelius. That's my boy right there. That's my Ben. Boy. Aurelius Ben. 1-7. That's how we roll here.
Yeah, you're wearing the jersey tonight. Right, what size is that jersey, by the way?
Extra large, I think.
Extra large? No. It's
double,
bigger than
double
that.
Double extra large?
It's probably triple.
I guarantee it's not triple.
Hey, Baselli, if Aurelius Ben had dropped that pass, then everybody on the stadium, everybody on this show tonight would have said, what the hell was he doing in the game?
I actually, before the play beat, I look at the sideline. Excuse me.
There's a cough button for that, you know.
I couldn't catch it. It came too fast. Mm. A-Rob and Marquise are on the sideline, and I look up, and I watch Brian Walters and Aurelius Ben jog out to the huddle, and I'm like, and I say to Frank and Jeff.
You said it on the air.
On the air. Guys, A-Rob and Marquise are on the sidelines. That means – Ben and Walters are in the game. And I left it at that. Because I was like, what is going on? What are we doing? I mean, I could see 7-1.
But didn't A-Rob want to get off on his own? He went off on his own.
They went off their own. I think they just run like multiple deep routes in
right.
a hurry up.
Back to back, yeah.
And they were gassed. So I get it. It was just ironic of the timing. And now I'm wearing a really Ben jersey.
What a story for him, though. The last touchdown in the league was 2011, December 24th, Christmas Eve, against the Panthers with the Buccaneers.
Well, people forget he was a second-round pick.
He was a second-round pick, no doubt about it. And then he had 4 years worth of injuries, three of those full seasons he missed. And now he's back. He's fought through it, and he's kind of persevered, man, and put himself to a little career together.
Well, he's a heck of
he should thank the grass at Soldier Field too.
Well, it was going to be a big play no matter what.
It was going to be a good play, but it wasn't.
No,
yeah,
it was not going to be a touchdown. No, nope. But he's a heck of a special teams player too. Really good special teams player. So he has made a nice niche for himself, and happy for him. Happy for him. Big play, big opportunity.
Yeah, because he was about not to make the roster this
year.
He was on the bubble. There's no doubt. Him and Walters, all those guys. How about the injury report for the Jaguars? You know, the news yesterday, there weren't too many notable big injuries.
Were there any? I'm trying to think.
Alan Hearns left the game. He had the wind knocked out of him, but he was cleared to return. Blandon Linder, a right foot contusion, played through it. He'll continue to be evaluated. Rashad Green continues to rehab his Achilles tendonitis. Corey Grant, a toe injury on his right foot, continues to recover. Neil Sterling, the tight end, plantar fasciitis in his left foot. Tashaun Gibson worked out and cleared to play, of course. And Jeff Linkenbach released from injured reserve today with a concussion. So there you have it, the injury report for the Jaguars. So the returners are, I guess, the most notable. What's that?
What are we going to do, grades?
We'll do that in the next
segment. We do that after the next. This Pete, every week it's the same thing. You ask the stupid question, we do it right afterwards.
Wow.
I got to ask a stupid question to get a stupid answer from a stupid guy.
The music started. Stop talking, Pete.
We'll come back. PFF grades around the corner. And your calls, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. It's Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.